Okay, so again, to remind ourselves where we are for the millionth time, the Gemara, the Mishnah says you can't do business with non-Jews in anticipation of their holidays. The Gemara says, why not? Raises two possibilities. One is lifnei iver, is because you're causing the non-Jew to sin.
One is harvacha.
Or is harvacha, which the Ritva understands simply as a quantitative increase in the ability to sin.
I'm just washing my eyes.
Okay.
Everyone go and do this stuff as soon as she starts.
Oh my God. And then, but Rashi understands Harvacha as the prohibition of shame, Elohim Achirim, Lo Taskiru, etc., Lo Yisham Al Picha, that you can't have, you can't cause somebody to mention the name of an idolatrous deity. Okay? Good. Good. So we saw the Gemara yesterday. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tamal Gimel Beis, says that it is prohibited to swear in the name of an idol, affirm in the name of an idol, cause someone else to swear in the name of an idol, and Avuah D'Shmuel says not only that, but you can be involved in a business deal, partnership with a non-Jew, because it might come to a situation where you blah, 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 and you get to the point where he has to swear. Yeah.
So, for example, Lord Jonathan Sacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was knighted, right? And in order to do that, you bow to the queen, right? According to English tradition, the royal family was bestowed power divinely through God.
Do they still buy that?
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, it's like a tradition.
I don't know. But you are allowed to. Yes, you are allowed to bow to a king. That's.
But like, they technically like.
Doesn't matter.
That
you can bow to a king. You can bow to a king. You don't have to take
what about
nature.
Egyptian pharaoh who actually believes himself to be a king.
So Moshe also shows him. The Gemara says explicitly that Moshe goes out of his way to show honor to the king. Right? But, okay, remember, you read throughout Tanakh, it is perfectly permitted to bow to a person. Right? It is. It just is. That's not a problem. You can't bow to a deity. Yeah, of course.
Bow to the Pope?
Neither to a religious figure, right? A per se religious figure.
We're talking about bowing like
to a king, to a political leader.
Queen's also.
No, it's not a question.
Someone wasn't a religious
figure. Okay, technically, yes, she's the head of the Anglican Church, but you're bowing to the queen to the extent that you're bowing in the political sense, and yes, you're allowed to bow
but
to political
bow,
figures.
But when you bow, let's say you bow the Pope. The Pope also, the Holy See, has a tremendous amount of.
Well, not anymore. He doesn't have technical political power. He used to.
He still can influence world.
He has influence. Yes, different. He's really. Yeah, maybe for another time. Okay.
No,
after we've established whether the Pope is whether Christianity is about desire, which we haven't done yet. Okay. So Tosas asked the question, what happens if you did enter into a deal or you didn't enter into a deal? Either you entered into a deal b'isser, or you borrowed money, or lent money to a non-Jew, or whatever. You're in a situation which is permitted, and now you're in a situation where now you have to swear. He has to swear, rather. So, do you lose your money rather than have him swear?
No, because we said you don't want
to. Wait. So, Rashbam, right? Rishmuel Bar Meir, right, says you have to give up the money. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. Right? It's an Isser D'Oraisa, and the general rule by Isser D'Oraisa is rather than violate a biblical prohibition, you have to give up your, like, you have to give up all of your money. Right? That's just the way it is. Wait, let me just
all your money in general, or just all money made from profit?
No, all money. All money. Rather than violate an Isser, you have to give up all money. That's just the way it is.
Why?
What?
That puts you at a risk.
Yes. You will be impoverished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is the halacha. You have to give up everything.
Can you, is there a way to get out of that?
No.
Judaism.
Yeah. No. There's no easy way. I mean, there's some technicalities about this. Does it apply only to an active law? What about a law of shei mamaisa? Okay, bit of a question. But fundamentally, rather than violate an isser, you have to give up your entire fortune. Rather
that
than
sounds a little.
That is the halacha.
Judaism.
Right. Because a mitzvah. A prohibition is infinitely bad, and therefore infinitely bad is more than any monetary value. Or that's the simple philosophical assumption behind it.
Still ruled by that?
Yes.
So people still give up all their wealth?
No, people just don't get into the situation.
Yeah, they don't get into the situation so often. But Yes, right, look, the people in America in the 20s, 30s, and beyond, who gave up their job every Friday because they weren't going to work on Shabbos and were risking, very much risking.
They're risking everything.
Everything.
Many people didn't.
Correct, many people didn't. And the people who did, they really did risk everything, and often it didn't work out, right? Not everything works out, like a good inspirational Hasidic story, right? That, he gave up his job, and on Sunday, he became the CEO of Microsoft and became billionaire. No, it doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't always happen.
Judaism isn't all cupcakes and whatever. Boom. Yeah,
what?
Fairy tales.
Yeah.
Hashtag Holocaust. Like, let's be real.
Well, that was a way to down the conversation there.
Just saying, it's true.
But yes.
No, like,
or as I, that's not, if you remember, as I made Shimon very happy, right? Judaism is not just about making you happy.
It's not about,
right?
It's about God.
Yeah, that's what it is. So yes, you have to give up all your money. There's, I don't know if there's a real case. I think it's a real case, but it may be a case that people make up. But I'm pretty sure it's a real case. They called it like the $20 million will or something like that, or $20 million funeral.
That's a big funeral.
Yeah. So the Shiloh was as follows. It was two brothers. One was religious. One was anti-religious. And the father left them $20 million in his will. But the non-religious brother insisted on cremating the father, and the religious brother offered him an extra million, right? They divided 11-9 if they could do a religious funeral instead and not violate, right, Nivul Hames.
Right.
And then the brother, sensing he had the upper hand, said, okay, I'll make you a deal. You give me all 20 million, right, and I will let you give a halachic funeral to our father rather than cremate him. Question becomes, is he obligated to do that? And it comes down to, right, what is the prohibition of Nivul Hames? Is it a lav? Right. Is it a bitul asay? Is it a lav she'in bo maaseh? Does it depend on, right? It was a complicated question, but it was misaviv this question, right? I remember Eitan Shnal gave this year in my parents' shul years ago.
Happening?
What?
What?
Oh, I don't remember what happened in this story. Maybe I fell asleep for the second half of this year. It was, or did I go? I think I went at least for part of it. But it was at my parents' shul.
So was there a real case?
I don't know. I remember that Eitan Shnal gave this year in my parents' shul.
There's only one thing worse than falling asleep in the middle of a shir. Pulling out a different thing. Rav Pilich asked Pilich that last year, and the reason why is because if you fall asleep in a shir, the speaker sees, oh,
right, I'm bored.
But if you pull out another safer, you're saying, I'm not tired, I'm of sound mind, and I don't even care about what you have to say.
That's why they say you should never read while someone else is reading.
Okay, but so therefore, so the Rashbam says,
isn't this a problem? Isn't that a problem?
I don't know. Which you just turn it upside down.
So the Rashbam says, you can't make him swear, right? You have to give up everything. We love the Rashbam. The Rashbam is great.
Yeah.
Right. The Rashbam wrote. The Rashbam is one of the few Balei Tosfot who equally wrote on Gemara and on Chumash, and the styles are radically different, because on Chumash he writes a radical Pashtan commentary.
I'm laughing.
Why?
That's funny, because it's radical.
It is radical.
And he writes one that's very okay.
And then he writes a very standard Balei Tosfos Perish, correct. And on Torah he's very radical. He's one of the most radical Pashtanim. Ooh. Rashbam.
In what sense? Like the way he explains things, just like,
yes,
that.
Well, Rashbam, unlike Ibn Ezra, does not believe that you have to interpret even halachic passages in light of Chazal. He thinks that you can interpret, and therefore he thinks that the literal pshat of the pasuk by Tfilin is not Tfilin, is that you should inspire yourself in your heart and in your mind, right? And he says that the night doesn't start at night. The night starts during the day. Like the halachic day starts at day and goes to night, not night day. And he says vayir vayiboker doesn't mean when it was night and it was morning. It means it was evening and it was morning. Meaning vayirev, it was the end of the day, right? Which means that day starts, right? The Rashbam is very, very radical. The Ibn Ezra, who's also a radical Pasham, but not as radical as Rashbam, really disliked the Rashbam. His commentary, and he writes in Igeret HaShabbat, where he talks about how the Rashbam is
radical, but they don't like each other.
The Rashbam is more radical as a Pashtan. Anyways, but we love him, and my third son.
It's like stoners versus people.
My third son, his first name is named for the Rashbam, because we love the Rashbam. Yes, my third son. My third son, Shmuel Ezra. Shmuel is for the Rashbam. Well, technically Rashbam and Shmuel Afalej, but you have no idea who that is, so it's okay. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam says that you're allowed to accept the Shvuah. So now, why are you allowed to accept the Shvuah? So we said, conceptually, why would you say it is permitted to accept the Shvuah?
This was the...
Rabbeinu Tam. Who's Rabbeinu Tam?
Hearing him answer the
Dirabah. Wait 1 second. So, but first of all...
two more answers.
Correct. So first of all, by the way, who is Rabbeinu Tam? What's his first name? It's not Tam. It's not Tam. What? We said this... What? Yaakov. Yaakov Ish Tam Yosheva Alim.
Right.
So Yaakov says Rabbeinu Tam.
Sweet.
So Rabbeinu Tam says it's permitted. Now, conceptually, why would it be permitted? So one possibility is that the entire prohibition of causing somebody else to mention the name of a deity is not really Doraisa, it's Derabanan, Midas Chasidus, something like that.
It's Midas Chasidus.
I mean, not even Derabanan, it's a righteous thing to do.
Don't
you know.
Come on.
No, it's like a good thing to do. You know, if you're nice, you're a good, really stark person.
Not something that the yeshiva is into.
What?
It's not.
Did you say?
Not Chasidus.
No.
Midas Chasidut.
I know. I'm saying that too. There's a lot of like, it's good to say Shema out loud, really loud, like, help with the Kavana, right? You came up with that halakha at the end of davening, right? But what if by doing that you're going to, like, kill everyone else's Kavana?
No, so that's a different problem. Look, there is a benefit to engaging in supererogatory behavior. I'm going to say that again in English. Supererogatory means going beyond
right.
the bare minimum
no, like
requirements.
So beyond the
if you want to sound like you know, you have a good vocabulary, then I used this once in 10th grade on a test.
Supererogatory sounds like such a bad word.
What? And the teacher marked me right, and he made a note that I'm not sure what that word means, but I assume that if you answered the question with that, you probably did know what that meant, so I'm going to assume it was right.
Oh, this is what my 10th grade teacher did with my essays. Handwriting, so it's like, yeah. I'm assuming you longer essays.
I did know what it...
Teachers would fail you.
They learned to read.
My mom went to Bronx High, so the better public schools.
Yeah, my mother did too.
My mom died at public schools in New York.
My mother probably went a little bit before your
yeah.
mother, but
yeah.
But
my mom used to do her essays.
Long,
she used to like, as a joke, she would write a really like. My mother was crazy. She was a student, like in terms of studies. But, like my mom had to be eight. So my mom was a great student. My mom was a Columbia, blah blah blah. But like as a joke, my mom would write. Like the pink yellow elephant went to the convenience store to get pink yellow bologna to see.
And like the paper, the teacher was like, "You can do better." I was like, "Okay." I gave her a 17-page paper and I didn't double space it.
I was gonna say
good times. Okay, good.
Okay, then we had the other answer.
Okay,
so
now let's figure out. So the other possibility, is to say no. The Isser of Shem Elim Acherim Lo Yishamal Picha etc. is in fact Daraisa, but in this context, it's not Daraisa. Okay, so let's try to figure out. Now, there are shittot on both sides. If you look at the Gemara in Megillah Chaf Ches, the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara is in the middle of these stories of people on their deathbeds, and their students are asking them, why'd you live so long? Right? Why did you live so long? Now,
you just kicked the bucket already.
What's the implication? What's the implication? When you ask somebody, right,
What were you doing right?
Now what are you doing right? More than what you're doing right.
What did you do wrong?
No, more than right. Meaning, they didn't just live a normal life.
You lived
a...
Right,
so what did you do? It's not just what did you do right. What did you do...
That was so good.
Yeah, like what did you do that made you exceptional? That God granted you...
What made you this much better?
Correct. Right, you know, it's like the question I ask myself is how is it, right, that every Haredi Gadol in like the last 25 years has lived to be basically a centurion, right?
What's centurion mean?
100 years old, right? Meaning, Rav Shach was like they lost records of how old Rav Shach was. He was something like between 104 and 112. Rav Bosna was 104. Rav Avadia was like 99 or something.
Just eat enough to learn.
So I don't know.
No,
it's impressive.
They've lived immensely longer than the average lifespan.
Right.
Yes, so So in the middle of this, at some point they say, Bishas Pitirato, when he was dying, Amrlo, Rebbe, Barcheini, give me a bracha. Amrlo, Yiratzon Shetagia Lechatsi Yamai. I give you a bracha, you should live half as long as I did. That's sweet.
That's how long he was.
Well, the kululo. That kind of
sucks. Well, how long did he live?
So, I don't know. So the Gemara says, well, kululo. Should you? You don't want him to. You don't want me to live the whole as long. Okay. The Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara gets into a bit discussion, but if you skip to the next line, so then the Gemara figures, well, why do you live so long? So just look at the second line. He said, Chad amar tesi li dlo istak li begoy. I was so frum, I never looked at a non-Jew in my life. Right? Okay. I don't know why that's a frum thing, but okay. V'chad amar tesi li dlo avdi shutafos bahade goy. The other one says, I never made a partnership with a guy. What's the problem?
It's almost impossible.
It's not true.
No. That's another problem. What's the problem based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin?
You're not allowed to.
Usher! The Gemara said Usher! Right? This, Usher means. Normally means usher. That's like someone saying, oh, you lived to 105. In what schus did you live to 105? And you say, I never ate shellfish. Groisa yashikoach, right? You are such a tzaddik. I mean, I'm glad you didn't eat shellfish. But for in that merit, you lived to be 105.
I mean, look at non-Jews makes sense.
What? Yeah, so that's, I mean, whatever that means, right? Why that's a good thing, I don't know. But so the Ritva picks up on this, and the Ritva says,
"Oh, look at Princess."
So he says, "How could it be that he says the reason he lived so long was because he didn't forge a partnership with a guy? It's usher to forge a partnership with a guy. So good for you. You didn't violate a formal prohibition. That's wonderful. But it's not like a. It sounds like he did something that nobody else did."
People did do.
So the Ritva, right? I mean, that no one else managed to keep. Right?
What do you mean?
Right? Meaning he says, in what unique merit did you live a long life? And he says, I didn't make a partnership with a guy. But it's usher to make a partnership with a guy.
Not everyone kept it.
In a Hanami. But normally when you say, what was the special schos, you don't say, look, I didn't do things which are usher. You do something special, right? I was the biggest Baal Chesed. I was the biggest Baal Tztaka. I was the biggest Talmud Chacham. I was the biggest whatever.
Right.
Right? Not... I kept the bare minimum.
So you did an
right?
You did an assay, not a loss.
You didn't violate a law. Big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but you know.
Yeah.
So the Ritva says as follows: V'chitema. So you'll ask me, my ribuse. What does that mean? My ribuse. No ribuse. Meaning, what's such a big deal? What is he adding? Right, my rabba. What's so big about this? What's so great about this?
Oh.
It is a biblical prohibition. Right, according to the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the Gemara says it is a biblical prohibition to enter into this business deal because it might or the Ritva assumes that according to the Gemara, even entering to business deal is biblical because it's so inevitable you'll end up in a shvua or something like that. So he says, Hanachon, says it must be, Dehahi. Now it's not clear whether he means the Isser of not doing business with a non-Jew or the prohibition of having someone take a Shvua in the name of a deity. Love Isura Mamash Doraisa. It's not biblical. Oh, Derabanan. It's not even Derabanan. Elam Midos Chasidos Be'oma. It's just it's a chumkeit. It's a chumra. It's a chumra. It's not a minhag. It's a chumra. And he kept chumros. Now it sounds like the Ritva is saying this on. It's not. I can't prove it, but it sounds like he's not just saying the prohibition of doing business with the non-Jews. It's the whole isser of lisham al picha. Right, that's not what it really means. It's an asmachta.
Right,
it's midos, it sounds that way because of the way he I can't prove it. Now the Ritva here and in several other places, says that this is true in general in Shas. The Ritva is a programmatic statement that just because the Gemara says Usser doesn't mean Usser, and just because it says Mitzvah doesn't mean Mitzvah. Sometimes it means Mitzvah Chasido. Sometimes it means it's a good thing to do. It doesn't always mean this. What?
It doesn't always mean it's
Usser. Yeah, the Usser doesn't always mean Usser. He says sometimes it doesn't mean that. The Sma is one of the main commentaries on Choshen Mishpat, which is this the section of Shulchan Aruch which deals with what type of law? Monetary law. So the Sma is Sefer Mi'irot Einayim. So he's commenting on the halacha of doing business, right, having a partnership with non-Jews and Shavuot. So in that context is Mishum Hefsid Mamon Ekilubo. If you're going to lose out money, so you're allowed to take a Shavua, like Rabbeinu Tam.
Right.
Right, like Rabbeinu Tam against the Rashbam.
You're allowed to take a Shavua, or you're allowed to get someone to take a Shavua?
Meaning you're allowed to get someone to take a Shavua.
So you could get a non-Jew to do a Shavua.
Correct. Right? You shouldn't, but if you're stuck in a situation where your options are either lose money or to have the non-Jew swear.
But wasn't that the case?
What?
Isn't that the case of the Mishnah? That's what we said was you can't do business because
no, not the business, not the business. We haven't gotten to that yet.
But say you
right?
Can't do business
we're going to come back. We're going to come back. No, you can't enter into a partnership.
My boy.
You can't enter a partnership.
Oh, okay, fine.
Right. So he says Kimasha Kazav, and he right in the Sma, right in the Sma, it's clear. Right in the Ritva, it's not 100% clear, but it's in the Ritva, it's pretty clear that what he's saying is the Isser of Lo Yishama Al Picha isn't really biblical in terms of causing somebody else to sin.
Right.
And sorry, not to sin, to invoke the name of a deity. The Sma is 100% clear because he says Ki Ma Shekasuv Lo Yishama Al Picha, when it says don't let the name of God of other gods be heard on your mouth. Al Yisrael Gufei Azer Rachmana. It's prohibited for the Jew. Right? Remember, there were other possibilities in the Gemara. But what else could it mean? Don't be a Mesis. Don't be a Mediach. Right? Different things that it could mean. Right? Don't take a Shavua yourself. Vigama Lifnei Ivros Yidim Yishol Shayachacha. Degai Atzma Lo Muzer Oze. Rak Midus Chasidus Hushal Yigrom Shiyishama Al Yadu Af Mipigai. It's a Midus Chasidus to not have a non-Jew invoke the name of a deity. So in the Ritva, it is pretty clear, and in the Sma, it's 100% clear, that he thinks... Yeah, that it's not really Usser. It's not really Usser. Now, this became a machlokes, and I gave you... Now, as I said, you could say that this is true, but the majority of Rishonim disagree with this whole thing. Majority of Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Tam that if the only way to not lose money is to enforce a vow against a non-Jew, you're allowed to do it.
Right.
But they disagree with the Ritva Sma, namely that it is only rabbinic to cause a non-Jew to invoke the name of God, of his God.
So
how do you square that?
Wait, so let's just make sure I'm understanding this. They say it's Deraisa. But if you need to get him to swear in order to get your money, you can.
Correct.
So how
could you square this?
But it's not a Dirabanan or it's not a Midos Chasidus?
So how do you square it?
No, I'm asking you, which one are they saying it's not?
It's not only Dirabanan. Yeah,
it's not only
Dirabanan. Well, this is the key.
Midos Chasidus isn't going to be Dirabanan.
It's going to be less. But the majority we've shown him, the Ramban agrees with the Ritva, but, well, all the way around, the Ritva agrees with the Ramban. But the majority of Rishonim, again, hold two positions which seem to be incompatible. One is that if the only way to save your money is to have the non-Jew swear, you're allowed to cause him to swear, even if that means he's going to invoke the name of his deity. But they think that the Isser of Yishama Al Picha, of causing a non-Jew to invoke the name of his deity, is Usser Midaraisa. So how do you square that circle? Right? As we said, right? Normally the halacha is...
We say we're squaring that circle by not actually getting him to do it.
Ah, right. So one way is the... Right. So one way was the way the Ritva Sma did it, which is to say the prohibition isn't as bad as you think.
Well,
the other way is to say, no, it is as bad as you think if...
He actually comes
in. If I actually caused him in a direct way to invoke the name of the deity. But the business deal, Shavua case, it's not considered that I caused him to invoke the name of the deity.
Because really all you're doing is you're saying, swear to me.
And you'd rather him not, or...
He's not really going to, or he might, but you're not doing it because you are really need. You don't care.
You'd rather him just give you the money.
It means nothing to you.
Correct. Correct. And that's... The Rishonim give different answers, but I gave you a summary of it in the Gris Moshe. So if you look in the Gris Moshe here, Rav Moshe Feinstein got a letter from his nephew, Rabbi Chiel Michel Feinstein. And Rabbi Chiel Michel Feinstein didn't understand the sugya. So if you are a little bit confused in the sugya, you're not the only ones. Rabbi Chiel Michel Feinstein was also confused. Right? And he wrote a letter, but unfortunately not all of you have uncles who are Moshe Feinstein. So when he was confused, he just wrote a letter to his uncle and said, "No, what's going on?"
I have a step grandfather who studied by Rav Moshe. Around the same time.
Well, there you go. I remember my wife when she did the Yoetzet Halakha program. So the Sholeto Meshiva in the Yoetzet program is Noah Lau, whose husband is Rav Benny Lau. He's a rabbi in Yerushalayim, the Ramban Shul. So at some point, they were getting into machlokas with their son, who was under bar mitzvah, whether he should fast. And they thought he shouldn't fast, right? And he was insisting on fasting. So what did he do? So his first cousin is the current chief rabbi of Israel, and his uncle was the previous chief rabbi, several times previous. So he said, if I get you a psak from the chief rabbi of Israel, right, that you shouldn't fast, will you not fast? Then he wrote a letter. So he just, you know, called up his cousin.
Yeah.
Was it his cousin or his uncle? I don't know which one it was. And he wrote him a whole minumak tshuva, you shouldn't do it. He said, you can do that when that's mishpacha. Oh, okay. Fine. So Rav Chiel Michel Feinstein asked Rav Moshe, "Be'inyan heter mishum eva be'israel lifnei eden v'heter kabbalah shua mishum hefsed." So, two questions, but we'll focus on the second one. In terms of allowing the acceptance of a vow from a non-Jew, if it's going to prevent loss of money. So he says, this is from Ben Achi Ohavi, Ahuvi, my nephew, my beloved one, Hagon, Marino Harav, Rav Chiel Michel Feinstein, Shlita. Okay, to my nephew. So he says, "Bidavar kushiatcha chamura bereisha vodazara." You had a groisa question, right? You had a very, very hard question, a tifa question, a sharp question. We're teaching the Yiddish very slowly. You have to help me a little bit. I'm telling you, I learned half of this from like one of my yeshiva shabbayim in high school, and when my brother-in-law went to the mirror. You know, anyways. He says, "Bereish avodazara, kevan diligrom gam laakum sheyoda v'yishba laakum hu iser da'araisa." Right, causing a non-Jew to acknowledge, invoke the name of his deity is a biblical prohibition. Mikra de lo tazgiru, omi lo yisham al picha, right, because you shouldn't make it be mentioned, lo yisham al picha. Eich shayech lahatir mishum eva bizman hazeh. He said two questions, right? One, which we haven't gotten to yet, is that as we'll see, the Gemara is going to introduce, under certain circumstances, it's permitted to do business with non-Jews in order to prevent animosity. What the Gemara calls Eva. Okay? So he says, why is that true? If you're doing business with a non-Jew and he's going to invoke the name of the deity and that's a biblical prohibition, he shouldn't be able to waive it because of animosity. Right? Animosity towards non-Jews is something we only waive for rabbinic prohibitions, not biblical ones.
Animosity, you mean like a vow?
No, animosity, like hatred. Right? Okay. Under certain circumstances, we say if not getting into a business deal with someone is going to cause hatred, so then it's permitted to get into the deal.
Ah.
So he said, why? The halacha is that by a d'oraisa you can't do that. Right? Meaning unless it's mamish pikuach nefesh. Right? The Rosh says we're not talking about a real case of sakanas nefashos. It was sakanas nefashos, be obvious. Then he went further and he said, and more than that, invoking the name of the deity seems to be idolatrous at some level. If it's idolatrous, it should be Yahorik Val Yavor, which means that even on pain of death, it should be Asur. Kal v'chomer for money. V'im kein aval lo tazkiru lo yishoma afshim lavim yuchadim ba v'dazara yishalavar v'lo yorek lo karan. He said, and they're unique of v'dazara prohibitions. What was Rav Chiel Michel Feinstein assuming? That the iser of causing a non-Jew to invoke the name of a deity, is it daraisa? The Rabbanan, Midas Chasidus.
Wait. He's still on the idea that it's
going to
be viable. You have to give your life for it.
Right, Reb Chaim clearly says it's Daraisa. Not only is it Daraisa, it's Yehor Gvel Yavor. It's one of the big three, which are what again?
Adultery.
Good. Reb Moshe says back to his nephew, look, Fiani is Daiti, Leka. Right, in my humble opinion, Nira Deleka Isser Daraisa. Velases. There is no biblical prohibition of doing business with a non-Jew. Av Sha'azul Moda, even if he is gonna go and acknowledge his deity. Mishum Davi Davar Shane Miskavein. Now we come back to our sugya, we can see, look. If I go to a non-Jew and I say, invoke the name of your deity. Right? So, according to everybody, that is? Daraisa. According to Moshe, Daraisa. Why then is it true, despite that, that in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, if I need a non-Jew to take a vow, which he's going to invoke in the name of the deity, but I need that to prevent monetary loss, we allow it. And our sugya in Avodah Zarah, that it's prohibited to do business with non-Jews around their holidays, but under certain circumstances we allow it, even though they might go and thank their deity. So Moshe says, how can I square this? How can I say that causing a non-Jew to invoke the name of his deity is in fact biblical, and yet say that the prohibition of causing a non-Jew to take a vow, or the prohibition of doing business with non-Jews around their holidays is only Drabbanan? I mean, it's one or the other. So he says, no, it isn't. Because the only time it's Daraisa is if I go to the non-Jew and say, do me a favor. Say, assuming Christianity is an idolatry for a moment, right? I need you to say a Hail Mary for me. Right? Please. Right?
You don't need him to.
But I ask him. Right? I remember I once got very uncomfortable. Hopefully he'll never listen to this year. I have a wonderful, wonderful professor in YU. He was my thesis advisor. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant scholar. Also a devout Catholic. Now, I happen to be extremely squeamish. So at some point, there was a very squeamish story going on in class, and I fainted in the middle of his class. I'm really, really, really squeamish. So I woke up in the middle of class. This was in college. I woke up in the middle of the class on the floor, passed out with like an ambulance on me. It's like mom had passed out. They had oxygen on me. Right, it was a bit intense. Whatever. Yes, I was that out.
How long?
Not so long, but they called it two eggs.
Enough to get you an ambulance.
Tell me about it, right? Whatever, not important. So I get a very warm email from my professor the next day. You know, oh, we were so worried about you in hospital. Yes, so I got my whole family together and we were praying for you. And if there's anything I can do for you besides for praying, please let me know. And we'll continue praying. And I was, on the one hand...
Stop praying.
Right. So on the one hand, I was extremely touched. So on the one hand, I was very touched. On the other hand, I was like,
I have an idea. Don't pray anymore.
On the other hand, I'm like, okay. So...
Give money to your church, but don't pray.
What's it called? It's not like you
both need
to do it.
What?
No, but like at the same time, it was. Why was he praying?
So
wait, was he Christian?
He was Catholic. Is it Catholic?
I thought we said we don't consider that.
What the actual we're going to do tomorrow? We haven't gotten there yet. It was a bit uncomfortable.
Did you say what are we considering tomorrow Catholic?
What?
Say it was,
tomorrow. Whether we'll start discussing the status of Christianity.
Okay.
But
Catholic and Christian are two different things?
No, Christianity is like the
main thing.
Christianity is
all people who believe that Jesus was Messiah, deity, part of the Godhead, whatever. Yeah. Right? Then there are different sects, right, which believe different things.
Catholics, Protestants, Calvinists,
etc., etc. Unitarians, blah, blah, blah.
Did you say
vegetarian? Unitarian. Vegetarian is not a type of Christian. Right?
Yeah,
Unitarian.
Kinda,
I mean, it's
definitely a vote of
becoming
Remember, I'm a vegetarian also. Remember this. That may, at some level, deeply psychologically.
I'll say Jews have, like,
I'm very, very squeamish.
Jews have, like,
anyways.
Why would you like eating something that at one point was alive and was slaughtered, like, insanely?
Thank you. Okay.
Not talk about this?
No, let's not talk about it. So Ramosha says, look, and again, he's quoting Rishonim, but I figured it would just be easier Ramosha. He says, maybe the only time it's Asur Midaraisa is if I go to the Goy and I say, say a Hail Mary for me, right? I want you to invoke the name of your deity, right? You know, it's like the Sefer Yonah, right? They go over to Yonah, pray in the name of your God, right? So, Yonah couldn't have turned back to them and say, please, pray in the name of your gods, right? You can't do that, right? But here it's not. If I'm doing business with a non-Jew, and he's religious, you know, he's a devout whatever, and he ends up going to his temple and saying, you know, thank you so much for providing me with whatever, providing such good business, whatever, right? I didn't mean that. I wanted to do business. I wanted to make money.
Right.
The fact that the guy went and thanked his God, okay, it's not my fault. I didn't mean to do it. So Durabanan, we say it's best to avoid it. But if in the end of the day, even if he does it, you can't trace it back to me in a direct way. Right? Because I didn't want him to do it. I wasn't telling him, say a Hail Mary. I was saying, let's do business, and he was happy, so he went and he thanked his God. He says, "V'davar shein miskavin amutter l'rabbanan."
He went down his route. He will.
What?
He went there on
exactly.
Yeah.
He says it's permitted. Rag hachach miru l'takin is ramazam adam chadam mishum chomer davod zara zayigam mishum open. He said, "Look, avod zara is a very strict thing." So the rabbanan said, "Do your best to avoid avod zara at 100 steps away." But it's only the rabbanan. Right. In order for it to be biblically usher, I would need to go over him and say, invoke the name of your God. He said, for sure in a case where I don't know how from the guy is. But I don't know if he's going to go and thank his God.
But if when he says, you said, like, I'm going to tell me a Hail Mary. Hail Mary sounds like...
I'm giving an example. I don't want to get into that yet because we're going to do it tomorrow.
Okay.
He said, even if I know he's going to do it, still, it's not psik resha, it's not considered inevitable. Right? The psik resha nechshav ki miskavin dechem na'akoponim eno hechreach. He said, at the end of the day, he's not forced.
Right.
Right? I'm not telling him to be flum. I'm not telling him to go and thank his God. Da'ev shalo gam shalo lahodos. And therefore, Moshe says, look, if you actually cause them to invoke their name, right? Remember the case I brought at the beginning of the year, Dr. Berger's case, right? Where the person says to his, can I tell my devoutly Hindu co-worker that I accidentally gave her a cake with an egg in it so that she will now go and do tshuva, which involves avodah zara.
Right.
So that might be an issur d'oraisa, because I'm telling her,
right?
Maybe. But if I just do business with them, and they might go, and they might thank their deity, that's not d'oraisa.
It's not this big.
So, me there abanan, you should avoid it. But if there's going to be a big loss, or it's going to cause hatred, animosity, so then we can waive it.
Yeah.
And he says the same thing is true by the Shvua. And the fact that Rabbeinu Tam said that we're allowed to permit the Shvua even in their times when they were real Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And again, tomorrow we're going to get into whether they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not. Okay, I'm going to cut at this point in Reb Moshe, because Reb Moshe is going to get into the second half of Tosfos. But basically, Reb Moshe quotes several Rishonim. Again, I didn't get into the Rishonim, but these are all brought in they're different versions of the same answer. Right? The Ritva, the Sma, say that causing somebody else to mention their deity is not Asr Midaraisa. Rav Moshe quotes the majority position, which is no. Directly causing a non-Jew to invoke the name of the deity in a Hanami is Daraisa. But the reason that it's permitted to prevent monetary loss or to prevent animosity is because the case in our sugya of doing business with non-Jews in anticipation of the holidays or making a deal that involves a non-Jew taking a vow, those are indirect. Right? I don't want it. I don't know what's going to happen, whatever the case may be. Right? Again, as other people say, I don't want it to happen. I just want him to give him my money. I don't want him to falsely swear. I want him to give him my money. In that case, it's Dirabanan. Okay. So now if you come back to Rashi, right? So remember, right? This is all background to our sugya.
Yeah.
So remember, right? How did this come up? Our sugya. Rashi said, the reason you can't do business with non-Jews, according to Harvacha, is Shem Elim Achim L'Sham Alpicha. Now, the way the majority understands this, the way Rav Moshe summarizes it, is that the issur of directly causing a non-Jew to invoke the name of Deity is Daraisa, but the added levels of concern, namely, not doing business because it might lead to a situation where they would have extra money around the time of their holidays, and then when they go to their ceremony, they're going to thank their God, or getting into a business deal that might make them make a shul, blah, 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 that's Dirabanan. And therefore, even though the chash, right, the eventual concern is biblical, the proximate problem is rabbinic or mitzvah chasidus, right? And therefore, it can be waived for monetary loss or for other compelling reasons like animosity. Okay, the last thing I want to do, and then again, what I cut off in Tosfos is the second half of Tosfos says that maybe all this was true in the time of the Gemara. But then the second half Joseph says, but let's say you're doing business with a Christian, and the Christian invokes the name of Jesus. Is that a problem? And there, as we'll see, the Ramah is going to understand Tosfos as saying it's not a problem because Christianity is not avodah zarah, and therefore, even if all this were not true, it would still not be a problem. We'll see that not everyone agrees with everything. Tosfos will do tomorrow. Last point, though, is as follows. The simplest understanding of this isser, of shame, of having other deities mentioned, is that it is a prohibition of having them mentioned.
Right.
And many of the poskim say causing someone to write down the name of a deity is also a problem. Okay. Here's the Maram Shik has a very radical position. Who's Maram Shik? I've mentioned him before. Moshe Shik. The apocryphal story, which may or may not be true, is that Shik. What?
Yeah, your phone's buzzing.
My phone is ringing. One second. I'm finishing Shir. Can I call you back in a minute?
Sure.
Hello?
Hello.
So Maram Shik is a Talmud of Chacham Sofer, and the apocryphal story is that he took the name Shik because the government imposed last names, right? And it was him or whatever, his ancestor didn't want to take a last name because he thought it was a problem. So instead he took Shik, which is Rashi Tevot, Shem Yisrael Kodesh.
Or he was always Shik.
No, that's definitely not what it was.
It's a joke.
Yes. So Maram Shik was asked, is it usher to use the secular date?
To use the secular
date.
Really?
October 9th. 2018. Right? So the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik, yes. Maram Shik says it is usher me de'oraisa.
What?
Why? So he gives two reasons. One is that it's a bitul mitzvahs aseh, that there's a mitzvahs aseh of counting the calendar based on Nisan and based on the Jewish dates, right? But his second reason is, if you look in this last source, you see where it's underlined? The last underline. He says, v'hamone b'misparim. Right, one who counts according to their dates, it seems according to my humble opinion, the over the Israhu al v'shem Elohim achirim lo tazkiru. You violate the biblical prohibition of causing others to mention the name of their deities. Why? So because it's not only prohibited to think, to talk about deities or write about deities, it's usher to cause somebody to think about their deity. And anybody who knows anything knows that 2018 is 2018. What is AD? What does AD stand for? Which means?
After death of Jesus Christ.
The year of our Lord.
That too.
Right? The year of our Lord.
Yeah, but nobody says AD anymore.
No, Jews don't say AD. Right?
We don't say anything.
Right? Jews, we try not to say. But he said, but the average Goya, the average frum Goy on the street, right? He knows that 2018, or in the Maram Shik's time, not 2018, 1850, right? 1850 to the year of our Lord, right? By simply using the non-Jewish date, you're causing him to think
about his deity.
About his deity. And he says, it's us or why? The Zilbusser Taima. Why is it prohibited to cause someone else to think of, to talk about their deity? Right? Because he said, we don't want to cause, you know, whatever, chashiva stuff with the Zara. Now, the majority of poskim disagree with the Maram Shik. Right? But you see how far the Maram Shik takes this. Not only does he think it's Asher Midaraisa, he thinks it's Asher Midaraisa not only to cause someone to say the name of deity, not only to cause someone to write it, to think about it. And even by writing October 9th, 2018, the fact that some frum Christian might say, oh, 2018 to the year of our Lord, that is enough to say that you violated the biblical prohibition.
Yeah, but let's say I say it to you. If I say we're in 2018, is that...
Interesting question. I don't know. But, now, I mean, he has a different reason, as I said, which is that he thinks there's a chiyuv to use the Jewish calendar, because you're supposed to... Achodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim. Right, I mean, he says both. Right, he was very, very against. Now, in general, by the way, the school of the Chassam Sofer was against anything secular. Right, secular clothing, secular dates, secular anything. Right, you were, you know, secular speech. Right, you had to give the drasha in Yiddish. Right, not in, right.
Yeah, secular clothes, like, technically this is secular clothes, but it's nice. It's like
Ustir Midoraisa.
I'm not gonna say that what you're wearing is nice.
No.
It's subjective.
Well, it's nice.
I mean, according to Belgian standards, that might
I'm
be
saying
nicer.
Jews wear this too.
Anyways, okay. Too. Like I said, what we have to do, what we're going to do tomorrow, Kevra, what we're going to do tomorrow is as follows.
Wrong with